Hello, family, and I want to welcome you back to the podcast, where this is not just a podcast, man. This is a movement. Now, if there was one area in the body of Christ that I see and hear about more people struggling in, it's in the area of their finances. Now, today, we're going to talk about kingdom finances, living generously for Jesus. It's kind of hard to be a blessing to somebody else if you are always in a position where you need somebody to be a blessing to you. So today, what we're going to talk about, how to live generously for Jesus. Now, one of the first areas I want to talk about is being a tither. Now, most people, when they talk about tithing, people climb up, they hold the purse real tight, people grab their wallet, they say, man, I'm not going to give you my last Baptist dollar. It has nothing to do about it. The thing about tithing is really not even about the money. Tithing is a test that you take every time you have any increase in your life. What tithing is really about, do you trust God more than you trust the money? Do you trust God more than you trust the money? When you look at Malachi chapter 3, and a lot of people focus on the first, you know, will a man rob God? God asked the question, you know, will a man rob God? The people said, how have we robbed you? And he says, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. He says, you know, so you're cursed with a curse, even this whole nation. It did not say that you individual is a curse. What he's saying is because you have robbed me, because you have robbed me of the opportunity to be a blessing to you, because you have put more trust and confidence in the money than you have in me, because you have done that, you have robbed me from the opportunity to be a blessing to you. He says, if you bring, in verse 3, Malachi 3:10, he says, bring the whole tithe, the whole tenth of your income into God's storehouse. Why are you doing this? Why are you bringing it into God's house? So that there will be resources, so that there will be provisions in God's house, so that the ministry or the church that you belong to or attend, it has the ability to do all the things, the programs, pay the rent, you know, keep the lights on and do all the things that you're wanting the church to do. But ladies and gentlemen, it takes resources to be able to do it. But the tithe itself is what you're saying with the tithe is, I trust God more than I trust this money. And as a result, I'm going to bring my tithes and offering to the storehouse that they may be resources and provision in God's house. And what does the kingdom way say? It says that when you bring the whole tenth of your tithe to the storehouse, God says, test me in this. He says, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, blessing is not about a car. Blessing is not about a house. Blessing is an empowerment for you to prosper. Empowerment to increase. Tithing is about giving the first 10% of your income. It's not just a rule. It's a relationship of trust. Do you trust God? God invites you to test his faithfulness when you give. Now, what's the real life application of this? Man, each time you receive income, the first thing you do off the top is you take that first piece, that first 10%, and you pay that before you pay any other bill. You sow that seed before you pay any other bill. What are you saying? God, I trust you more than Visa. I trust you more than MasterCard. I trust you more than the mortgage company. I trust you more than all these things. And when by doing that, what are you doing? You're demonstrating your trust in God. And when you set aside that 10% for your local church or a ministry that feeds you spiritually, then you write a prayer. Every time you write the prayer, every time you thank God for his provision, and you declare your trust in him, and you watch and see what God will do. Now, I'm going to challenge you. Try tithing for the next 30 days and journal what changes in your heart and in your finances as a result of you sowing and bringing the tithe, the first 10% of all your increase. Now, what's another way to live generously for Jesus in the kingdom of God? If you're talking about having kingdom finances, you've got to be a giver. Now, the word of God says it's better to give than it is to receive. Now, people will say, man, you lying to me. It'd be better if somebody gave to me than for me to give to somebody else. But it's better for you to be a giver. Why? Because when you give, you're living open-handed. See, the thing about when you live open-handed is when your hand is closed, when your hand is tight, it's hard for you to be able to get anything else in your hand. But when you are an open-handed giver, your hand is so open, it's not only easy for you to be able to give, but it's also easy for you to receive. We find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 8, where it says this. It says, you know, and God is able to bless you in abundance so that you always, in every circumstance, regardless of what the need may be self-sufficient, possession enough to require no aid, assistance. And that's the Amplified version, where it says that when you sow or you're a giver into the kingdom of God, into the things of God, you position God to be able to bless you in abundance. Is it about the blessing? No. What's it about? It's about sowing into the work of the kingdom of God. Now, God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Did you hear that part? God blesses you and I, those who are living generously for Jesus in the kingdom of God, so that we can be a blessing to someone else. Giving isn't about how much you give or how much you have. It's about doing it from a generous heart. You're not doing it grudgingly. You're not throwing it at the preacher. All you want is my money. That's not about it at all. What it's all about is we're taking our resources that God has blessed us with, and we're turning around and sowing it back into the work of God so that more and more people can hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and be impacted by the kingdom of God. Now, what's the real application on being a giver? Give beyond your tithe. Support someone in need or contribute to a mission trip or surprise someone with groceries. What can that be? You can give your time. You can give your talents. You can give a word of encouragement. It includes money. It includes money, but it's not just money. I want you to be able to get that part down as well. And when you make a decision that you're going to be a giver, I'm going to give you a prime example. One time when we was launching a church in Ottawa, there was a young lady at the church, and she used to provide meals for the traveling team that was going to help plant this church. Well, she was from a different, an ethnic group, a cultural group, so I wasn't accustomed to the type of foods that she was cooking. So, for a few times, I didn't know how to receive it. So I would always give mine away to my good friend, because I know he was from the same country, so he could identify and understood the culture. So one day I did that, and this is what God says. He says, "You are robbing me of the opportunity to be able to bless her because you won't receive the seed she's sowing into your life." Not right then and there. And I never thought about it like that. I said, "You know what, Father? I repent." And I made a heart decision. I said, the next time she cooks, I'm going to eat it. I don't care what it is, whether I recognize it or not, whether I like it or not, I'm going to make a decision to eat it. Do you know what happened? The next time that she put food in, guess what she made? Spaghetti and meat sauce, stuff that I understood. But from that day to this, I live by this rule. If somebody cooks it, whether I recognize it, don't recognize it, they're trying to be a blessing to me, and it's selfish of me to try to withhold that opportunity from them. So I just let them be a blessing, and God in turn is able to be a blessing to them. So what I want you to do also doing this real life application, I want you to keep a journal. Now what I want you to do, I want you to track how did your act of giving affect the receiver and affect you. Again, it's better to give much more than it is to receive. And a third step, if you're going to live a life as a generous, living a life generously as a follower of Jesus in the kingdom of God, you need to partner with ministries to help expand the gospel of the kingdom. Now, we find this a lot of times, people quote this, the verse 19 of this chapter, Philippians 4:19, it says, "And my God is able to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." But they skip the part that led up to the church being in the position to be able to receive a blessing. And that is what we find in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, where it says this. It says, and Paul says this in Philippians 4, and he says, "No church share it with me in a matter of giving and receiving, except you only." In other words, Timothy was, he was an apostle, and when he was traveling from church to church, there was no church that was communicating with him about giving and receiving, except this one church. And when he says, "Except you only," talk to him about giving and receiving. And Paul's ministry thrived because faith of his faithful partners. You're not just donating, you're co-laboring with Jesus in reaching the world. Every time you sow, now when you sow, partner with a ministry or another church, you're not taking your tithe and sowing it to somewhere else that you're not being spiritually fed. What you're doing is you're taking, so if you want to be a blessing to someone, like we partner with other ministries and we partner with other ministry, but the thing about it is when you partner with another ministry, every time somebody gets saved, you get credit for that in heaven. Every time something good happens in somebody else's life as a result of you sowing your seed, you get credit for that. So what's a real life application in this? You got to adopt a ministry. Choose one mission or outreach to support monthly. We have a few that we support every month that we sow into their ministry because we want to see the kingdom of God expanded, and they go to places that we don't go or we have not been sent to go. So what do? We partner with them, and then they can take the gospel to different parts of the world. Another thing you want to do is not only do you want to sow a seed into their ministry, you want to be praying for them. You want to intercede for their own, you know, for their impact and their needs. You want to write them to encourage them, but you definitely want to be praying for them. What you want to do, you want to actually research a mission you admire and how others can help too. Now, what we do is we have ministries that we have donated to that have been a blessing to us, not necessarily financially, but just in the things that they do in the community in different parts of the world. And I want to encourage you to do the exact same thing. And number four way to live generously in Jesus as in kingdom finances, you want to seek God's way. You want to seek God's way. You want to let God lead your finances. You know, in Matthew chapter 6:33, it talks about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That also includes your money. How do you pay your bills? How do you sow into other people's lives? The tithe already belongs to God. So you're not giving him the tithe. The tithe already belongs to him, but your offering is you making a heart decision that you want to sow and help expand the kingdom of God. So when it comes to your finances, you want to see God on how to handle your finances. When God is first in your life, when he is first place, you know, when God's first, your needs are second nature to him. When you prioritize his ways over the precious or worries, God always provides. Did you hear me? God always provides. See, a real life application of this is you budget with with prayer. You know, before making a financial decision, you want to ask God for wisdom. I remember I had a financial decision to make. I went to the Father. I'm like, "Father, how do I address this situation? You see the situation. How do I address it?" He gave me wisdom on how to carry it out. And when I look at us, oh man, that's awesome. In fact, it actually caused us to save money doing it God's way. And then you want to cut out any distraction. Are there things you buy or chase that God never asked you to do? Are there certain things that you're spending money on? Like, you know, are you eating out all the time? You know, because it's convenient when you're spending like $70 on one meal, when you can use that $70 to spend it and buy groceries for your house and just cook at home. I know it's convenient for you, but the thing about it is you want to use your resources wisely. Now, What can you also do? What does it look like for God to be a CEO of your wallet? If God was the CEO of your wallet, what would that look like? What would that be like? How would you manage your money differently? Now, if you're going to live according to the kingdom of God, even with your finances, you have to make a decision to seek God's way of handling your resources. All right, man, I know this is good. I have one more point I want to share with you, and then we'll be closing. And the last one, but probably one of the most important ones, is honor God with increase. Celebrate His goodness. When you increase, you want to celebrate God. It says this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9. It says, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruit of all your increase. He says, then shall your barns be filled with plenty and your vats shall overflow with new wine. What happens when you honor God first? What happens when you say, you know what, Lord, before I do anything else, I want to make sure the things of the kingdom are taken care of, because when I do, you cause me to prosper. You cause me to get increase in every area of my life. So God deserves the first and best of your increase, not what's left over. I'm going to tell you straight up, if you try to wait to pay your sow your tithes and offering after you paid all the bills, you won't ever do it. You want to know why? Because you're going to look at that money that you have left. He's like, man, if I do that, I won't have enough. Can I tell you something? When you do it on the front end, I don't know how He does it, but He will always make sure, always, always, always make sure you have more than enough for you to finish out. And what He also does is, because you trusted in Him, you honored Him, He always causes you to prosper. He multiplies what's in your hands when you honor Him first. Now, what's a real life application? Celebrate your wins. Every raise, promotion, our financial blessing, thank God with a gift. So when you get a promotion, man, you want to bless God even more. My wife and I live by this. We don't increase our living, we increase our giving. When we get promoted, in fact, my wife was making fun of me earlier today. She said, you know, when you get blessed with something, she said, when it comes to you first and it's in an account first, she said she sees it in an account and she says, boy, she's making plans for it. But before she even gets into her hands good, she says, I've already made a decision that, well, we're going to sow that seed into somebody else's life or ministry, because I want to be a blessing to the people of God, that God's kingdom will be expanded. I always want to honor God first. You also want to create a God's faithfulness jar. Write down testimonies of His provisions throughout the year. And then what you want to do is you want to go back and discuss, how can you use your increase to tell God's story to others? Man, I was in this situation, but then this is what happened. Now, what I want you to do on a weekly basis, I'm going to give you this declaration that you can declare every week. You can say it this way. You can say, I am a kingdom steward. I tithe in faith. I give with joy. I partner with purpose. I seek God's way and I honor God with my every increase. My finances are blessed and I am blessed to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen and glory to God. We want to thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.